Well, happy Mother's Day, everybody. That was terrible. Do we love our mothers at the River Church? There we go. That's much better. I hope that if you were sitting by your mom and you gave one of those half-hearted applause, I hope she elbowed you in the ribs something good, and I hope it hurt. I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. All right, hey, well, I'm glad you're here today. We are, of course, celebrating Mother's Day today at the River Church. And I want to just remind you guys that on your way out, there is a pretty cool little photo booth that our hospitality team set up out there. It's beautiful. It's awesome. And then there's also some flowers out there for all of our ladies. So grab you a flower on the way out. Get one. Hey, if your mom or your lady's too shy to grab one, you grab one for her. All right. You make sure that everybody gets a flower today. All right. There are just a gift to you just because we're thankful for you. And we're thankful for our moms and all of just the women figures in our lives who have impacted us, aren't we? I mean, there is nothing like a mom who can change and shape, show us what unconditional love looks like, who fiercely fights for us. A mother is a beautifully unmatched thing. Amen? We are so grateful, and we want to celebrate and honor you today. And so whatever that is for you, if biological mom or a mother figure, make sure you celebrate and honor her in whatever way you can. Okay? Amen? All right, you better do it. This half got it. This half on this side, we're working. We're going to work it there, all right? Today we are continuing, as we celebrate Mother's Day today, we're continuing in our series, Citizens of Heaven, walking through the Beatitudes. Now, the Beatitudes are really the kind of the introduction, if you want to call it that, to what is considered the most famous sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And so we're calling the series Citizens of Heaven because over and over throughout the series, or throughout the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus calls us members of the kingdom of heaven, members of the kingdom. He reminds us as members of the kingdom of heaven. And so, hey, we're citizens, right? We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven who are still living in an earthly kingdom. And so the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount is really all about how someone who is a member of a heavenly kingdom, the citizen of a heavenly kingdom, that's salvation, a Christian who's a member of a heavenly kingdom, how then we should live, interact, love, serve one another while we still live in this earthly kingdom. We got it? Get it? And so oftentimes, as we're going through this series, you're going to see Jesus say things that sound counterintuitive to us. Right? They're going to sound a little bit backwards because in our earthly kingdom, they don't quite make sense. Like when Jesus says things in the Sermon on the Mount, like, bless those who curse you. That doesn't make sense, does it? Right? When someone cuts you off in traffic, you want to bless them, but not in the right way, right? Right? Be honest, right? When Jesus says, turn the other cheek, that seems backwards to someone who's living, operating in an earthly kingdom. When Jesus says, give generously over and over, that doesn't quite make sense to someone living, right? When he says, love unconditionally, when he says, forgive over and over and over, 70 times 7, that doesn't quite make sense to someone who's still operating and living and thinking with an earthly kingdom mindset. And yet, for those of us Christians who are called to live as citizens of heaven, still living in an earthly kingdom, this is the way Jesus calls us to live. It's the way he thinks. It's the way he operates. It's the way he acts towards us. Praise God. Amen. Praise God that he loves us in that way. And so he calls us to operate as citizens of heaven, still living in an earthly kingdom. And again, it doesn't always make sense, right? Like throughout this series, the Beatitudes, Jesus is going to say things like, blessed are those who, and then the thing he says after who doesn't make sense. Right, like last week it was, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. And we listen to that, we go, that's stupid. Right? Blessed are the poor? No way. Blessed are the rich, baby, right? And yet Jesus walks us through and helps us understand that it's poor in spirit, meaning poor from a perspective looking at God, meaning that we have an understanding, not that we have earthly riches, physical riches, but then when we look at God as someone who's poor in spirit towards God, understand that everything that we have comes from God, we're spiritually poor before Him, that we absolutely need Him, then we understand how blessed we are. Because that means He offers to us eternal life. He offers to us a spiritual salvation that we can't get on our own. And so someone who understands I'm poor in spirit also understands how blessed they are, because when we approach God in poverty and spirit, that means we understand what salvation means. We understand what salvation looks like. We understand that we can have the hope of life. And so that person is blessed because they recognize their need before God. And when you recognize your need before God, you're going to find that need met. Amen? That need is salvation. He says, if you understand that you're poor in spirit before me, if you seek me, you will find me, for I am not far from you. That's what Acts 17 tells us. And so today, we're going to look at this next idea that Jesus gives us about being, through the Beatitudes, of being blessed. And the second one He gives us today is, again, one that feels backwards. He's going to tell us today, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. And everybody said, Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Blessed are those who mourn. But in all seriousness, I think if we were honest about it, a mom probably can understand what mourning looks like, feels like, is more than most. You say, why is that? Because she's got kids. And ain't nobody makes somebody cry more than their children, amen? Right? All the moms said amen, right? Why? Because when you love someone as fiercely as a mother does, you feel everything they feel except really more, because you love them so daggum much. It means the painful decisions your child makes, you feel that. It means the teenage years, you feel that, amen? Right? It means when your child hurts, you feel that. It means when you feel lost, you feel it. And so I think as we talk about Mother's Day today, I think maybe a mom can understand what that looks like and feels like more than most. I also think that our mothers in the house also can teach us a little bit about what it means, as Jesus is going to say, to be comforted in our mourning. Amen? Because they get it. They understand it. So with that in mind, let's look at what Jesus has to say about mourning. And I know you're like, oh, this is going to be fun. Oh, it's going to be fun. All right, let's go. Sermon on the Mount. This, we're going to start in Matthew 5, 1, and we'll go back a little bit. It says, when He saw the crowds, He went up on the mountain, and after He sat down, so again, there's these crowds of people following Jesus. He goes up on a mountain, just has a seat, and He begins to teach. It says, after He sat down, His disciples came to Him. He began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. That's what we talked about last week. And then verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So what did He just say? Blessed. Who's blessed? Those who mourn. Why are they blessed? Because they will be comforted. Now again, that doesn't feel like much of a blessing, does it? I'm going to be honest, right? Like you hear that and you say, blessed are those who mourn. You're like, how about Jesus? Got an idea. Let's rework it. Blessed are those who never mourn. Amen? All right? Let's try that one out, Jesus. But here's the truth about life. And again, truth about life is that we all will have seasons of mourning, won't we? Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter how much money you have, we will all in our lives face seasons of mourning. Look at Ecclesiastes 3. We actually did a series through Ecclesiastes back in September of last year. Just a refresher, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. There's an occasion for everything, and a time for every activity under the sun, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. See, we operate through life and we think that bad things won't happen to us. We'll never face seasons of mourning. The problem with that is stinking life, man. Right? Like that, the problem with that idea is the reality of life, right? Because no matter who you are, where you are, you will be touched by hard times. No matter how healthy you eat, no matter how often you exercise, you will get sick. And it's not fair, right? Me and my body have an agreement. I eat right, I exercise, it doesn't get me sick. Well, I had a cold this week, my body betrayed me. And I'm the biggest baby when I get sick. I literally lay in the bed and I have conversations with my body. You're a liar. You betrayed me. I'm so good to you. Like, I just lay in the bed and Katie just throws food in the door as I just mourn and weep because I'm a big baby. The opposite of my wife, who, like, when she's sick, takes care of all of us because she's amazing, right? That's what we do. No matter how good, here's an encouraging word for you today. No matter how good life is today, you will suffer. Aren't you glad you came to the river today? Like, next Mother's Day, we ain't coming back here, man. This place is messed up, right? You will face days of mourning. You will face days of weeping. You will have good days and you will have bad days. It's the reality of life. I want to read you a story from a guy who had a bad day, and I heard a preacher actually tell this story, and I thought he was lying, to be honest. Like, he's a preacher story, he's lying. So I went and looked it up, and it's a true story. It's a true story. I know you're like, preachers don't lie. I mean, I don't, but... But I looked it up, and this is a story of a guy who was born in, you won't be surprised, this is from a guy, a man in Florida. Won't, no shocker there as I read this to you. Here we go. It says... This is about a bad day. We all have good days, we all have bad days, and I just want to read you a quick story of a guy who had a bad day. It says, a man was working on his motorcycle. Again, this is a true story printed in a Florida newspaper. Man was working on his motorcycle on his patio. His wife was in the kitchen. The man was racing the engine on the motorcycle, and somehow the motorcycle slipped into gear. The man, still holding onto the handlebars, was dragged through the glass patio door and the motorcycle dumped onto the floor inside the house. It's a bad day. The wife, hearing the crash, ran to the dining room, found her husband laying on the floor, cut and bleeding, the motorcycle laying next to him in the patio shattered. The wife ran in, phoned the ambulance, and because they lived on a fairly large hill, the wife went down several flights of long steps to the street to direct the paramedics to her husband. After the ambulance arrived and transported her husband to the hospital, the wife fixed up the motorcycle, pushed it outside. Seeing that gas had spilled from the motorcycle, wiped it up using some paper towels, and then flushed them down the toilet. Some of y'all see where this is going. The husband was treated at the hospital and was released to come home. After arriving home, he looked at the patio door, the damage done to his motorcycle, and he was sad. Went to the bathroom, sat on the toilet to use the restroom, and smoke a cigarette. That's right. That's right. After finishing the cigarette, he flipped it between his legs into the toilet bowl while still seated. The wife, who was in the kitchen, heard a loud explosion and her husband screaming. She ran to the bathroom, found her husband lying on the floor, and I know this is church, but... His pants had been blown away, it says, and he was suffering burns on the buttocks. That's what it says here. The wife ran to the patio, ran and phoned, called the ambulance. The ambulance crew was dispatched. The wife met them in the street. The paramedics loaded the husband on the stretcher and began carrying them to the street. By the way, it was the same paramedics who were there earlier. While they were going down the stairs, the one of the paramedics asked how her husband had burned himself. And when she told them, the paramedics started laughing so hard that they tipped him off of the stretcher and broke his arm. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a bad day. Amen? Now, I told you that story because we needed a laugh today, didn't we? That's a bad day. So here's the deal. From now on, when you say, how's your day? And you go, not so great. That's our barometer. Look back to that one and remember that and go, is it as bad as that guy? Then it's still a good day. Amen? But here's the thing. Although that's a funny story, that's a story about one day. But let's be honest. Sometimes the mourning, sometimes the pain, sometimes the suffering that we go through is much more than just one bad day, isn't it? It's much more than just one bad moment or getting a ticket on the way home from the office or something that's just a blip in the radar. Sometimes the pain, the mourning, the suffering that we walk through is much deeper, stays with us much longer, and hurts a lot more than just crashing through a patio door, doesn't it? It's something sometimes that feels like there is no ending to. There's lots of different things that as a Christian, maybe we mourn over. One of those things, I think, is our own sin. If you're following along our notes, that's one of our notes today. One thing that, as a Christian, sometimes we mourn over is our own sin. You say, why do we mourn over that? Because we look at how we've hurt others. We look at how we've hurt ourselves. We look at how we've offended God. And it hurts us. A second thing I think sometimes Christians mourn over, and we should mourn over, is suffering in this world, isn't it? We look around at the state of our world, we look around at how things are going in our world, and it causes sorrow and distress, or at least it should. Not because you're afraid, but because you're looking at suffering and evil and you go, it's just wrong. And like literally, when you meet somebody who just constantly is saying, man, Jesus, come back quickly, that person's seen some stuff. That person understands that the only healing, the only answer for the suffering in our world ultimately is Christ coming back and redeeming this world. Amen? But in the meantime, when we look at pandemics, when we look at war, when we look at injustice, it should cause the Christian to mourn and weep over the state of what's going on. I remember looking back at 2020 and 2021 and as a church, and I remember where I was personally. I know we hate to keep going back to that, but I remember specifically a time when we had protests happening, we had racial injustice happening, we had COVID raging, we had political fighting and bickering, and it was just ridiculous. And then on top of all of that, Katie and I experienced some just really, really tough personal stuff in our family, and I remember just looking around at the world and just mourning because I was done with it. I was finished. I remember sitting in my office, and I know this will surprise you guys, but I remember sitting in my office and just crying because it was overwhelming. Because I was feeling about what we were going through. I was thinking about what the world felt like, and it was just too much. Anybody else? And it wasn't because I had been wronged. It was because I was looking, and I was just going, it's just, there's so much evil. There's so much mistrust. There's so much anger, and it's just felt overwhelming. And as a Christian, as members of the citizens of heaven who are living in this earthly world, when we see evil, when we see wickedness, when we see suffering, it should affect us, shouldn't it? It should do something in our hearts that goes, that is wrong. And so we mourn and we long for Jesus to come and heal and bring hope, the suffering in our world, the evil in our world, the pain in our world. We mourn over our sin because of the pain that it causes other people, the pain it's caused in our own lives, the offense that it brings to God. But then if we're just honest, the thing that we mourn over the most, and this isn't wrong, but it's the truth, the thing that we mourn over the most is our own personal loss, isn't it? Our own personal suffering. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be financial problems. It could be sickness. It could be, I mean, if I'm honest, as I'm talking, you're probably thinking of things in your own mind that you've walked through, aren't you? You're thinking of things in your own mind that you've suffered, that you've had to deal with. And I would bet, even though I'm not a betting man, unless it's a sure thing, then I don't mind putting a dollar on it. If I were to bet, I would imagine that even though it's Mother's Day and it's a day of celebration and it's a special day and we put on our happy faces when we come to church, I'm willing to bet that there's people in this place and people who are watching online right now who are going through some stuff. And I would bet that maybe, even though for many of us it's a season of joy and happiness, I would bet that there's some people even in this place today and watching online who are mourning right now, who are going through pain, who are going, when is it going to end? And to hear me stand up and to hear me quote the words of Jesus that says, blessed are you when you suffer, you're going, that's stupid. You're afraid to amen that, aren't you? Can he say stupid from the pulpit? Well, I guess. You hear the words of Jesus saying, blessed are those who mourn, and it feels, let's be honest, although we're in church, can we be honest? It feels like garbage, doesn't it? Have you ever gone through something and you hear the nice pastor come up or a friend come up to you and they're like, it's okay. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for you will be comforted. And you're like, I want to stab you. Because when you're in it, it doesn't feel so blessed, does it? When you're in it, it stinks. When you're in it, it doesn't feel like it's okay. When you're in it, words feel hollow. Let's be honest. When you're facing, like, I'm not talking about a bad day, like you got a ticket. Get over it, dude. It's fine. Get a better attitude, right? But when you're facing real mourning that has rocked your world, words often feel hollow, don't they? And yet Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And so if we're going to be honest, the question is how? Because when I'm in it, I don't feel so stinking blessed. How? All mourn, all face suffering. And Jesus' promise, I want you to hear this. He says, if you're a citizen of heaven, a Christian, then there will be a day, no matter how you mourn today, no matter how you suffer today, no matter what you go through today, his promise to you is that there will be a day where you will be comforted. And that feels hollow sometimes. But here's the truth that you need to hear, is that no matter what you walk through as a Christian, no matter what you suffer as a Christian, those words, those promises from Jesus ring true, because as a Christian, the beauty of that makes us different as citizens of heaven than those who are just members of an earthly kingdom is that no matter what you walk through, you will always have hope. And that's the difference. That's why you can be called blessed. You say, hope for what? 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, concerning those who are asleep, talking about dead, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. What he's saying is that Christians have something that the others don't. When people die, when they face suffering, when they go through difficult times, we always have hope because we have the hope of heaven. And in the moment, sometimes that doesn't feel so great because you're going, I'm suffering now. I want something different now. But the beauty of the promise is that we always have that to look forward to. We always have hope to set our eyes on, to place our eyes on. We always have the hope of eternity. So a Christian is blessed not because you suffer. The Christian is blessed because as a Christian, you have the promise that you will be comforted. And that is an incredible promise from a God who is always faithful to keep his promises. Amen. Revelation 7:17 gives you a personal promise from the Lord. He says, for the Lamb who is at the center of the throne will shepherd them. He will guide them into the springs of waters of life. And God, this is a personal promise, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Amen. See, the answer may not immediately come today. The fix may not immediately come today. The pain might not immediately go away today. But because you have Jesus as a citizen of heaven, you will always have hope. No matter what you suffer, no matter what you mourn, Jesus promises that one day I will comfort you. One day I personally will wipe away every tear from your eyes. I will make every bad thing undone. I will heal every broken heart. I will answer all of your pain. That is a personal promise from a personal God. Amen? It's a personal promise from a personal God. And so Jesus says, you are blessed when you mourn, not because of your suffering, not because of your pain, right? Because doesn't feel like a blessing. You're blessed as a citizen of heaven because you have hope and a promise of a God who says, I will wipe away every tear from your eye one day. And he is faithful, faithful, faithful. Amen. honestly, I know this isn't a we don't want to hear this. But honestly, there's some things, because of our broken world, that just will not be okay until heaven. There are some things you go through that just will not be okay until heaven. Now that doesn't mean that I'm not saying there's not healing in that. I'm not saying that God doesn't work in that, that God doesn't move and bring healing, but there's some things that there's just evil and injustice and brokenness that just will not be fixed until heaven, until Jesus can fully reveal the answer of the why to you, until Jesus can fully himself comfort you in person, until Jesus can wipe away the tear when you'll understand and go, okay. It's just the truth. People say time heals all things. No, it doesn't. Time makes things easier to bear. Time brings healing sometimes with it. But I can tell you there's things I've gone through that are still not okay. There's things I've walked through that I go, still not okay. And I'm mad at you about it, God. But I trust you. I know it's not your fault. I trust you. I'm still upset about it. Anybody else? But as a Christian, we can be called blessed because we have a promise from the one who says, one day you will be comforted. And when we suffer, when we mourn, we have to rest in that promise. We have to find hope in that promise. We're blessed when we mourn, not because of our suffering, but because we have a God who gives us the promise and the hope of comfort. And now you may say, well, that's beautiful, Mike, and that gives me some reassurance. But what do I do today? What do I do in the meantime? What do I do in the waiting? What do I do while I'm waiting for heaven? What do I do while I'm waiting for God to wipe away that tear? What do I do now? Just suffer and mourn? Well, number one, I would say this. Cling to the promises of God. Look at his word. Read the Psalms. See how David spoke to the Lord, talked to the Lord, held on to the promises of God. See how God intervenes in situations. Hold on to the promises of God and speak those promises to him. And say, here's what you said you would do, God. Will you be faithful? Will you hold on to will you answer those promises? Will you deliver those promises? Cling to the promises of God. Number two, I would say, in your mourning, seek the presence of God. Seek the presence of God. Psalm 34, 18, one of the most beautiful words in Scripture, says the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. You brokenhearted here today, you suffering today, you walking, God wants to be near you. He wants to be close to you. It says he saves those crushed in spirit. You feeling crushed in spirit today? You feeling brokenhearted today? The Lord wants to be near you, walk with you, comfort you. Sometimes when we go through stuff, there's no right answer. There's nothing anybody can say to make it better except just sit in the room and bless you by their presence. Amen? I've sat in more rooms than I would like with someone who's passing away, and I didn't say a word. I was just there to comfort. Just there to bring peace. And sometimes when we're walking through suffering, sometimes when we're walking through pain, sometimes when with your mourning, all you can do is just sing worship songs, read the scriptures, get and seek and ask God to bring his presence to you so that he can bring comfort and peace and hope. Amen? Sometimes that's all we need. Just that moment of, okay, God, you're still there. You still hear me. You still see me. You still love me. You're still walking. I don't understand, but I know you're faithful because I feel your presence. Amen? And that makes all the difference in the world just to know that he's close. Just to know that he's in the room, right? Because look, come on, man, let's be honest. Sometimes you're going through something and somebody comes in and they want to help you and they want to love you and they want to make it better and they're there and they're doing great. They pat you on the back and everything's great until they speak. They say something like, that was, shut up, right? Like, you're not helping. You're not helping. Matter of fact, we went to, there's, There's this place that the river's connected to. It's a beautiful place for kids to come and find grief counseling. It's called The Warm Place. We've talked about it. It's a wonderful place that we support, and it's in Fort Worth. It's a house where kids come and get grief counseling when they've lost a loved one, and there's literally a wall that the kids have written down things that people have said to them that made it worse. Think about that. And it's stuff that you would think, like, hey, they're in a better place. It's okay, right? God will make it, like, these things that we think we say that makes it better, that just makes it worse. And believe me, as someone who talks for a living and puts my foot in my mouth for a living, I've done that a lot, okay? Sometimes it's just the presence of a person, and oftentimes when we're mourning, all we need in that moment is simply the presence of God, amen? The Holy Spirit to minister to us, to speak to us, and for God to comfort us and let us know, I'm still here. It doesn't make sense today. It's not okay today, but I'm still here. Amen? Allow him to comfort you, to speak to you, just to be in the room with you. And by the way, the River Church is a place you can come and do that as often as you need. You come in here on Sunday mornings or whenever you come in here and you seek the presence of God. You cry out to the Lord. You let him minister to your soul. Amen? If you don't do that, I'm offended. Just kidding. We want this to be a place where you can experience God. Amen? Where you get what you need from the Lord. In the moments of our greatest pain and sorrow, it's oftentimes we find the sweet, loving, and kind presence of the Lord in ways we never have. Where he meets us in our pain, where we need breath breathed into our souls, and he is faithful to do it. Why? Because he is near the brokenhearted. Because he's near the brokenhearted. Because he loves you, he cares for you, and the things that you mourn, the things that you go through, doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It's in those moments he wants to show his love to you more than any. Amen? So seek his presence. And by the way, I might get in trouble for this, but be honest with him. If you're mad, tell him you're mad. If you're upset, tell him you're upset. If you're blaming him, tell him, because he already knows. You're not surprising him. There's a guy in our community group. I asked him if I could tell you all this story, and I promised I wouldn't tell his name, but it's Sterling. I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. He said I could say his name. But he's in our community group, and we were just meeting this last week, and he was telling us about how he found the river. And he said, I moved here to Texas. I was going through a terrible time in my life, really, really hard time in my life. And he said, I was sitting at my apartment table. He said, I'd gone to all these churches and was just couldn't find one where I fit in, couldn't find where I was connected. And he said, I was lonely and basically just, I won't tell his whole story, but was just going through some stuff and having a hard time. And he said, I would talk to the Lord and said, I gave God the business, is the way he said it. I gave God the business. I let him know, I'm here. Why haven't you helped me find a church where I can get connected? I'm alone. I need you. I'm upset. I'm mad at you. I'll give it one more try. Guess where he went the next day? Not the River Church. No, it was the River Church. It was. It was. Been here ever since. He said he had to go home and apologize to God. And that's okay. It's okay. In our mourning, it's okay to be honest with God, to tell him how we feel, to tell him what we're walking through, because when we're honest, then we can find comfort. Like when we just get it all out there on the floor, even though he already knows, we just get, all right, let's just lay all the cards on the table, God. All right, now we can work through it. Now we can do some things. All right, number three. In your mourning, cling to the promises of God, seek the presence of God. Number three, rely on other kingdom citizens to walk with you in your mourning. Rely on other kingdom citizens is a fancy way to say Christians. Rely on your church to walk with you in your mourning. That can be as involved as you want, as involved as you need. Sometimes it's literally just hanging out and being in the room. Sometimes it's just being a listening ear as you talk and explain, here's all the things I'm going through. And you can even tell them, don't talk back because you're going to mess it up. I just got to get it out. I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody to explain it through. It can simply be conversations, walking through your sorrow. It can be praying together. It can be, hey, I need you to pray for me. As a Christian, one reason why we're blessed when we mourn is because we have something called a church family, a body of believers who care for you, love you, want to walk beside you, want to be with you as you go through it. They want good for you. So don't be afraid to let your church family, your community group, by the way, your community group, come alongside you as you walk through what you're walking through. That our community groups are a beautiful place to get connected and find people who love you, who care about you, who can walk through not just the good, but the difficult seasons. This week in our community group, we were celebrating a couple buying a house, amen? And in this market, that is an accomplishment, amen? We're also walking through people who are going through surgeries and cancer treatments and difficult times. That's the way it's supposed to be. A place where you can find a group of people who celebrate the good and walk with you faithfully through the difficult. Amen? It's a blessing. Why? Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And it's something that God enables us to do. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. He said, blessed be God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. It says he comforts us in all of our affliction so that, there's a why. Why does God comfort us in all of our affliction? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. God said, I comfort you so that you may have the strength to go and do this for others. Amen? It's a calling and a gift that God gives us so that we can bless one another. It's what we're here for. The church, your community groups, your serve teams are places where we find comfort. You find people who walk with you until the day that God is able to fix it forever. Amen? You see, God doesn't promise that in life everything will always go perfectly. If he did, I would have a full head of hair. But he promises us that he will sustain us through it all. Amen? And sometimes one of the ways he sustains us is by bringing a group of people around us who can help carry us when we can't go ourselves. And so in your mourning, don't be afraid to reach out to your church family, your community groups. Give them a chance to love you and help you walk through it. See, he doesn't promise everything will always go perfectly, but he promises he will sustain us. He does it through the promises and the power of his word. He does it through the power of his presence. He does it through the faithfulness and the love of his people, the church. And he does it through the promise of a future hope. Amen? Stand with me, River Church. You know, I don't know where you are today. I hope it's a great day for you. And I hope that you're just like, when can this sermon get over? Because this does not apply to me at all. But here's my promise. One day it will. One day it will. And so I hope that you take these words from Scripture and hold on to them, and that when your day comes, that they sustain you. That you can rely on the power of God's promises, the power of his presence, a faithful church family to love you and walk with you, a future hope to look to where God says, I will wipe away every tear from your eye. And if you are today walking through mourning, if it is a difficult season for you today, my prayer for you is that you find exactly what you need from the Lord today. That you experience his presence in this place in a powerful way where maybe, I pray that it heals it, I pray that it makes it okay, but if nothing else, at least where he sustains you to keep on walking, amen? Where you feel his presence, where you can keep on going, you know, okay, he sees me, he loves me, he hears me, I can keep going because he does and he is able and he will, amen? And so I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing one more time, and I just want to encourage you, if you would like to take communion today, you can. They'll walk through and pass that out as we remember the hope of the resurrection through taking communion, the promise of the resurrection. But if you just need to worship God, if you need to come down to these altars and pray and cry out to God, it is open to you. You are more than welcome to do that. But whatever you do today, get what you need from God. Amen? If that's just simply worshiping him because he has been good to you and sustains you, then do it. Amen? All right, let's pray. God, I love you. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for the hope that you give us. Thank you for the goodness of your presence, the power of your presence. Thank you for your word that is faithful, God. Lord, I pray for all those who are in this place today that they would receive exactly what they need from you today, that they would experience the goodness of your presence, God. That as we walk through difficult seasons of life, that we would rely on your strength and power to get us through. God, we love you. We need you. It's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, amen.